Today, on Yom Kippur, we are charged up, inspired, and ready to commit ourselves to Hashem, to Torah, and to mitzvos. It is finally on this day that we stand before Hashem with this desire to come close to Him. A few moments ago, we read the Parsha of Acharei Mos. And as we often do, turn to the Torah, which is specifically earmarked for Yom Kippur, and try to find some meaning, something in which can inspire us to become close. And in fact, this is what we find. Two people who try to come close to God. Acharei Mos shnei b'nei Aharon b'karvasam lifnei Hashem b'yamusu. The Torah discusses two children of Aharon, Nadav and Avihu, who were tragically killed for bringing an Esh Zarah, doing something which they should not have in the midst of the Avodah. What's most difficult is, why would we want to focus our attention on such a tragic episode today on Yom Kippur? Today, when we wish to be looked upon in a favorable manner, a day in which we say, Yuksov l'chaim tovim kol b'nei b'risecha. For just like Aharon's children, we make mistakes. We are far from perfect. So why would we want Hashem to zero in on a mistake and how He punished in the most dramatic fashion by taking their lives on a day in which we hope and pray that Hashem will look at the Chaim, at life? To Dan Lekavschus. What is even more peculiar is the way in which they died. Chazal tell us that if we would look at their bodies, their remains, you would not see a scratch, you would not see a single cut. Chazal tell us, Sreifas Hanashama Bahaguf Kayim, that their bodies were untouched. But what ended up happening was that the neshama, their souls, were consumed. They were taken away from them. But why do we need to know this seemingly unimportant and certainly morbid detail? How does this description of their death help us in any way? How does it help the mourning, the pain of Aharon? His children died. Who cares how they died? To answer these questions, we look at a later reading. By Mincha time, right before Ne'ilah, the climax of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, we begin by focusing on perhaps the most difficult character in all of Tanakh, the man by the name of Yonah. Yonah, as we know, was a tzaddik. He was a Navi. Hashem spoke directly to this man, and he was given the commandment to go to a city, to the city of Nineveh, and to inspire the people to change. He didn't go. Instead, as we know, he decides to run away from God. He goes on a boat, and because of the storm, he's woken, ultimately thrown overseas. He goes over the boat and is swallowed up by a fish. Why? Why on Yom Kippur? On a day in which we should be focused on coming close to God, listening to Hashem's mitzvos, to do that which we're told to do. Why would we want to read a story about a man who tries to run away from him? We spend 364 days of our year running away from God. At least today we want to run toward Him. So why would we want to read about a man who does something which he should not do, running away from God? And if we think about it, the whole concept of Yonah being a tzaddik, running away from God, is preposterous, is silly at best. Every school child knows that Hashem is everywhere. What is Yonah trying to accomplish by running around? Certainly, when Yonah would get on the boat, God is still there. In fact, he acknowledges that he is connected to the God of the seas and of the land. It's one God. He believes in monotheism. So then why is he running away from God? It's impossible. It's not something we can do. So far, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that this is an example of HaKovesh Nebuwaso Misasin B'dei Shemayim, that a person is given a prophecy. It's not your choice. You have to do it. You must listen to that Nebuwa and must give it over. And if you refuse to do so, you will be given a punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim. You will get heavenly death. You will be getting a death sentence, B'dei Shemayim, from the heavens. Why would we want to learn about Yonah? Explains the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon tells us that Sefer Yonah is not a story about some man that none of us know, who lived thousands of years ago in a place we've never been in. No. Sefer Yonah is an allegory, an extended metaphor to the Bnei Yisrael. We are that Yonah. And we know throughout the Talmud, the Jewish people are compared to a Yonah, to a dove. So when we read Sefer Yonah, we are actually reading about ourselves and how we conduct our lives. Because Sefer Yonah is really a story about goals, a mission. Just like this man had goals and a specific mission, we also have our responsibilities. We also have, just like Yonah, our missions in life. And we all know what we are supposed to do. We may choose to embrace it, to run toward it, or just like Yonah, we may choose to run away from it. Explains the Vilna Gaon. We have a guf and a neshama. We have the physical body and all of its temptations and desires. And in the neshama, our souls, our spiritual sides. And there is this constant battle between the ruchnis and the gashmis, our physical desires and our long-term spiritual ones. So our neshama comes to this world, and it comes to this world for a purpose, to focus on helping others, Tikkun HaOlam, improving the world in the performance of Torah mitzvahs. And sometimes we tackle those goals head on. And sometimes throughout our year, just like Yonah, we fall asleep. But we're not physically sleeping. We're not really slumbering at the bottom of a boat. But our neshamos are. Our connection to the spiritual, to our ruchnis, unfortunately, that is fast asleep. And I believe this may be the message of why we read about Nadav and Avihu, about Aaron's children. The focus on their death is Sreifas HaNeshama VaHaGuf Kayim. Just like Nadav and Avihu, our bodies, our guf, our physical well-being, is perfectly fine. We would not even think about taking away the slightest bit of enjoyment. We would never wish to deprive ourselves of that. V'haguf kayim. Unfortunately, there is sreifas haneshama. Our souls, our ruchnis, our spiritual self, that often is consumed. We are walking around with neshamos like Yonah that are sleeping. But just like in the story of Yonah, Hashem brings forth a storm and Yonah awakens from that deep, deep slumber. And this is what we must do on Yom Kippur. We also must wake up. Because we sleep and we don't see the storm around us. We don't see the negative effects that we are causing our neshama. But today on Yom Kippur, we see. We must see. But in order to see, we must reawaken. Awaken our neshamos. And for this reason, we refrain at least for one day from the physical pleasures of this world. The Torah tells us, "V'inisem es nafshoseichem," that we must afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur. Because throughout the year, the physical seeking of this world has caused us to lose our focus of our neshama, the spirituality, our purpose on this world. We are so wrapped up in the gashmias of the physical world, of enjoying all of the comforts and pleasures of this world, that we literally are afflicting our souls, not on Yom Kippur, but the other days of the year, because we neglect the spiritual side of our lives. Says the Talmud in Yoma, that if we look at the word hasatan, which is comparable to the Yetzirahara, hasatan equals 364. Says the Gemara, this corresponds to 364 of the 365 days in the solar calendar. But there is one day in which we allow our physical selves to slumber, and that is on Yom Kippur, that we do not allow the Yetzer Hara, that desire to seek after our guf, and to forsake the neshama. On that day, it is gone. But we are not to live as Yom Kippur Jews. God does not want us to act every single day by depriving ourselves and separating ourselves from the physical world. But what Yom Kippur does is it gives us the opportunity to refocus and to realize that the material comforts that we were blessed to have, the skills, the talents, and the abilities that we have, they were entrusted to us so that we may be able to elevate them for a higher purpose. We will soon be reciting in the repetition of the Amidah Unasana Tokef, Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'avirin Esra HaGezeir. And we hear that there is a specific formula to be able to improve ourselves and to awaken from this spiritual slumber. Teshuva makes sense. I'm completely changing my essence, who I am. Tefillah, a heartfelt prayer, an avodah shebelev. That's something which can have a major impact on our lives. But why tzedakah? The fact that a person gives a few dollars to charity, and in fact on Yom Kippur, we can't give tzedakah. We can make pledges to give tzedakah for after Yom Kippur. But why is giving money mavir nesra gezer? Because, as we're saying, on Yom Kippur we're able to realize the true purpose of the physical world is not for our own benefit to enjoy it for the short term, but to be able to elevate the physical for something better. By giving tzedakah or pledging on Yom Kippur, we will have shown that we have internalized the message of this world. Not to run away from spirituality and to hide from God, but to support in any way that we possibly can. By making pledges on Yom Kippur, may we all be zocha to the words of Rav Amnon, that tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah will be ma'mavir and esra gezeira, and we should all taka be zocha to be able to have l'chaim tovim u'shalom. Good job, Tom.